Hashem, we thank you, Father. We thank you, blessed Lord, Master, Savior, wonderful Lord. We bless the holy name today. We thank you, Father, for your love. Lord, it's time now, Father, just strengthen, O Lord, thy servant here, and open the hearts of your children, Lord, to understand and to learn. Father, for this faith that thou hast given us, for this life, how precious it is, O Lord, that we look at it when we meditate on it. We should treasure it and be very thankful, Lord. And in so doing, Father, that our life, our spirit, our souls, my body, and all that we are, be drawn closer to you. We thank you, blessed Lord. Blessed Jesus. We thank you. Asking for your blessing now, Lord, and guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let us go to the book of James. We are going to deal with the seed. And I want to say this, that for this subject that we are on, we are, that this love, the faith, and I said this, that the faith that we have is that we act accordingly that which we have received. And as we said, that since this faith was given, it come to us by predestination of God according to his foreknowledge. And the purpose of this was to produce the preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ in us. And that's what we talk about when we say about predestination, that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's what the faith of God, this faith, this life, is given to us so that all that which we learn, if this faith that is real, this seed faith that is real in us, it has to produce in us the preeminence of Christ in us. Nothing else. You know. Now, we already have an idea the last few weeks already now that from what Jesus said in the sowing, the parable of the sowing in Matthew chapter 13, see, the sower went forth to sow. And we know that unless there is a ground prepared, a good ground prepared, because after all, the sower is none other than the Lord. And he sowed good seed. And sowing good seed, the ground must be prepared. It must be properly prepared. And that's what we have seen from the Word of God, that God predestined us before the foundation of the world, and thus, because of that, our heart, you know, our heart has been prepared so that when the word comes, when the seed falls upon us, it can take root in us and bring forth much fruits. So, remember this, that in the parable of the talents, And we know also that the Lord requires us that whatever talent that we receive, every one of us have talent, but some of us don't want to use it. He said, Brother Ken, what kind of talent do I have? You know, I cannot sing properly or give a special. I don't know how to share the word of the Lord. You know, sometimes we have all these excuses. Talent doesn't mean that you're given a voice that you could sing like the nightingales, or that you have a talent that you can be a great soul winner. And the problem is that many times we never ask the Lord. We don't seek the Lord's will in our life. We don't seek for what talent that God has given us. But basically, our life, that life, the spirit that God has given us, it is waiting to burst out from us. And all you have to do is to look at the Word of God, look around, and see the needs of the brother or sister in the fellowship. Sometimes I wonder how human beings really react. There are things that I've observed when I was out there on the streets or in the mall. When something happened, you know, someone fall or someone need a little help, people tend to look away, walk away from that person. When they see a man is dirty or whatever, they move away from that person. And I think many of us are very guilty of it. You see, the basic talent that we all have that is given to us is that God wants to have the agape of His coming to us and begin to try to produce something for Him. Many times we don't. Last week we finished off with this, the fruit of the Spirit. And I talk about the fruit of the faith. When God give us this faith, this seed faith, the end result is to produce the same kind of seed. So I want you to go to the book of James now. And we look into this book of James. Alright? James chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, commit all joys when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, this is James. Now, this book of James has been, you know, quite a controversial book to some people, to some theologian perhaps. And they even try to find out which James are. There are four James in the Bible. Which James is this talking about? And back then, of course, the post-Nicene father been asked, arguing as to, debating as to who they think James really was, this one. But anyway, the thing is this, even to Martin Luther, he called this book the Epistle of Straw. Because in here, there's no mention about the gospel. It is totally nothing about the gospel. It is all about behavior. It is all about the law. It is all about how you walk in the law of God. So, it seems like it's an Old Testament book. It's all like for the Jew. Actually, it's for the Jew. Because in verse 1 tells us that to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And they are converted Jews. They are Jews who are Christian. But it seems that James, and of course I believe that this, there's not James Alphaeus or James the brother of John, but James, the brother, half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was an apostle. He only came to believe the Messiah, believe Jesus, his half-brother, was the Savior, only after the resurrection and ascension of the Lord. But the thing about this is that what is written here talks so much about faith, humility, you know, bearing the fruit, the trials, the temptation. And James is actually trying to make the Jew to understand. Remember in one place, James talked about, you show me your faith and I'll show you my faith by my work. So, it kind of a bit there, you know, confusing. But here, of course, when we study and we understand what James is actually talking about, we have been through the book of James about 4 years ago, 2016, trying to really lay out what James is imparting to the Jews out there that have been scattered. So right now, let me say this, that when we talk about this law of the faith, immediately here, James introduced in verse 2, my brother, commit all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So remember I said this, when you have faith, trial must come. And it's so true. I always think about this, I always think of what Brother Abraham related about the Red Indian chief. I mean, it's such a simple little story that, you know, that comes into my mind every time when I read about faith. I mean, yeah, the Red Indian chief, as you know, came to Brother Abraham and said, Brother Abraham, you know, Brother was talking, how are you doing? He said, oh, you know, I have a problem now, you know, since I believe in the Lord, I have this black dog and a white dog fighting in my head. So true, isn't it? And Brother Abraham did not say any other things. Just ask him, which one wins, the black dog or the white dog? And the Red Indian chief is honest enough to say, if I feed the white dog wins, and if I feed the black dog wins. So, that's trial. The moment that you are a Christian, you are put on trial. And if you don't like trials, and you grumble over trials, then I think you are not really immerse yourself in the joy of the Lord. So, Baruch, how can there be joy when there is trial? Hey, what was James saying? What is James saying here? My brethren, come in all joy. Because without trial, it means that you don't have the real faith. You know, real faith, like what God gave to Abraham, immediately after that, Abraham went on a trial. He was put to a trial. Because, you know, when God promised him something, he believed in it, he has to go out there, he testified of it. You see? And when it came time that God says, all right, now, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. Let me ask you a question. I already told you this, the revelation concerning Abraham's faith. When God told him to take Isaac and give give him as a sacrifice to God? I said this many times. If many people read that, they just read it and never meditate and try to meditate to see and understand what went through the mind of Abraham. But I know the time when I came to understand this, I knew what Abraham faced. And I said this many times. When God told Abraham to do that, now you can play a scenario out there in your mind. Different takes, you know. Now you produce like a movie producer. You can say, all right, Abraham said to the Lord, are you kidding? You promised him as a son to me, and you want me to sacrifice him? Well, when you're talking about this, can it be possible that he said to the Lord like that? No, it will not be possible. Because Abraham had the revelation. Because God promised him that he will be a father of many nations, and through this son alone, Abraham was, when God told him, asked him to do that, he had the revelation. He realized that if he sacrificed his son Isaac, God would have to raise him up again. So my question to you right now is this. Because out there, you're hearing me preach, you can answer your own and see what you understand. When Abraham took Isaac to the mountain, Mount Moriah, the thing is this. Did Abraham sacrifice Isaac? Was Isaac sacrificed? Was Isaac sacrificed? So what the Bible said, no. God said, stop. Don't kill him. You see? We read it like that. But the tear that God told Abraham, take your son, that only son, and give him as a sacrifice to me. Go to Mount Moriah and make him a sacrifice for me. That day when God told Abraham to do that, Abraham told Isaac, let's go for a sacrifice. And packed the wood onto his back, and Isaac carried that all the way up the mountain. Abraham died to himself. Isaac died to himself. He was willing. Even though you know what was going on, he asked, Father, where is the sacrifice? He said, Abraham said, God will provide. And Abraham said, you are the sacrifice. And I said this, Isaac is a big man. A young big man. Not a little boy. He's at least 20 years old. Because you need to have been 20 and above. Remember all those soldiers become war? He was willing to be tied down and laid down on the pile of wood. They have the nice plunge crown, in his throat. He was willing. He died to himself. That's where the sacrifice actually took place. That's why sometimes we need to, as the Bible says, as Paul said, present your body as a living sacrifice. Amen. And yet many of us don't die to self. We find it hard to die to self. Because we always think about ourselves, the flesh. Dying to self is to be able to serve the will of God. And it's very hard for many people. But that's the life of the faith of Abraham. The reality. When you believe in God, you have to believe Him all the way. I give you a son, you shall be the father of many nations. Okay. Now sacrifice your son. To many people, it will be a no-no. But to Abraham, he already realized, God said it, I believe it, he can never change his word. You realize that? God never changes mind about his word. So my brother, come with all joy. But many people read it as, come with all sorrow when you fall into temptation. Into diverse temptation, diverse trials. But you know, James said, knowing that the trying of your faith work of patience. You know why James wrote this the way it was? Because to this Jew, this Christian, converted Jew, they had a hard time because they are facing all those other Jews who are so much against the one who died upon the cross. The one whom they called false Messiah. And to a lot of the strict Jews, it's all about their faith. And that of, as they were claiming, we have Moses, we have Abraham, all this, but they didn't realize it because all that they have are the interpretation from the rabbi. You know, to this day, it's so sad. A lot of Orthodox Jews, they are so caught up, especially the group that is known as the Hasidic Jew. The one that wear all the drum hat and all the kallit or the hair that comes down. The interpretations of the Torah that was given to them by their rabbis has actually made them captive to their own religious belief that give them no life at all. You see, I'm so glad that Jesus set us free. Without this faith that God gave, that God has given to mankind in Christ Jesus, and people do not want to believe them, they cannot have this real faith. They don't even know what they are believing in. You know, because all that we have is a book, a Bible. And this Bible can be interpreted to be thousands of different ways because of the opinions of men. Of late now, you know, subtract a little bit of late in Africa, in India, in the Philippines. There are some of these believers now in the end of message begin to question about William Branham. But questioning about things that now they got it from somebody who started to propagate it, there is no rapture. How could Brother Branham be like Elijah? How is it that he is in Revelation 10:7? All Christians must go through the tribulation. And they come up with all this now because, you know, truly now, that's the falling away of the faith. Remember? Remember, that's what Paul said. The Lord will not come until there is falling away from the faith. People think that, well, the churches started, you know, the church in Rome fell away. So there was a falling away. Christ will come. No. And now we have the Protestant that came out, the Catholicism, and then they organized themselves as well. Because they also began to fall away from the faith because they began to form an organization. They have all this traditional interpretation that still that came from the Catholic Church. Is that what the Bible talks about, falling away from the faith? These churches doubt that do not have the faith. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. The true faith It's not about what the Anglican Church believe, what the Presbyterian Church believe, what the Baptist Church believe, the Pentecostal, the Charismatic, and the 30, 40, or thousands of different denominations, sects and groups, and cults, whatever. You see, but it is that the, as you said, the, you know, that that the church, you know, that we have the faith that once was given to the saint, now it's restored to us. The faith that was once given to the saints, when did it come to us? I see a lot of people, now it's falling away even from the message. They say, oh, William Graham cannot be this and that. That's because when the devil had a heyday and people all get messed up. They said that there's no dispensation. There's no seven church ages. Wow, they say all kinds of things. And they even say, no, the church had to go through the tribulation like Noah went through the flood. Because there is a falling away, that the saints that were restored to the Word of God, to the real faith. But there is a falling away now. People are backsliding and judge what is over happening over in Jeffersonville. They take the tape of Brother Abraham, put it on a cassette recorder, the tape recorder, and they put it in and say, press, play, and obey. Because they believe Brother Abraham is the only one whose message could take you into the rapture. Oh my. So we are all on trial, every one of us. And there are those out there, believers who hear all this strange doctrine and teaching from this big preacher, that they all got worried, they got scared. Yeah, okay. My pastor said so, this preacher said so, he's well known, he's from here, this and that. And they get carried away with devil's winds of doctrine, as the Bible said. Because they're not grounded in the Word. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4? The fivefold ministry was to given to us for what? Huh? To help us to be stabilized in the world for the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints and so on. That we will not be tossed to and fro. And people are being tossed and fro because they don't recognize the ministry. And there's this teaching that goes out there now in the Philippines, that if anybody, a church where the pastor tells the people, or have the people call him pastor. So if a man, if the church member called the pastor, and the pastor doesn't say anything, oh, Pastor Gunn, Pastor Lawrence, Pastor Russell. So any church where the pastor received that address has been called a pastor, that church is under necrolity. I wonder how that comes about. Huh? They were saying, just call him brother. Yeah, I know he's my brother. So what's wrong with calling him a pastor when he's a pastor? What's wrong with calling a person an apostle when he's an apostle? What's wrong with calling the person an evangelist when he's an evangelist? So of all the five-fold ministry, you can call him any title that he has, but not call him a pastor. You know, it eats into me to find out that this nonsense has been going on among all these preachers and young men, believers who try to be preachers, be teachers, contributing their 2 cents worth of interpretation, put it on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. May God have mercy. The modern power, the modern Bible talks about the tank. We're not just talking, you know, just gossip about people or saying bad things about people or lies. But you know, some people are just thinking that they're some kind of great teacher of the Bible or something, and they start to wet their tongues and putting on false doctrine out into the world. Well, let's go on. So, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, what patience. Yeah, it's supposed to do that in us, right? No doubt about it. We have to have patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give to all men liberally and upbraid not, and it shall be given him. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't ask for wisdom. That's a problem. You know, the first thing when I came back to the Lord, you know, after I backslid, and I went to secondary school at the age of 14 because I was in a Chinese school for 1 year. So I was delayed by 1 year because I'm not good at Chinese. So I went to secondary school at the age of 14, so I was 1 year late. Right? You go to secondary at 13. You know. So I went there, you know, and I backslid because, as I said, on the first day of school, there's nothing to do. We were waiting for a school to bring the books for us to have. I mean, the book list, buying of books and so on and so forth. So the teacher got everybody to try to be active and do some singing and things like that. And everybody show off their talent or whatever. Yeah, I'll sing, went out there and sing a gospel song. So the teacher then began to criticize everyone who went up to sing. That, oh, you also sing like Elvis Presley, you know, you're terrible. You sing like Ricky Nelson's or the Beatles or whatever. So, you need just a one little, well, actually I would say the devil got to me. And so, from that day on, well, I turned into the world and go into this pop song thing and spend almost 2 years wasting my money and my time on that. And I hardly go to church. Practically, I left the church for almost 2 years. It was when the Lord then brought me back. Using a sinner. Which I was curious. I said, no, you're a Christian, Richard, right? I said, yeah, but I've not been to church for a long time. See, yeah, I want to go to church. I want to see how the church operates, you know. I said, if you want to go, all right, let's go this Sunday then. He said, okay. And so we went on Sunday, and there was a message that was prepared for me. The pastor of the church and the Assemblies of God church, you know, I that was the first time I've been to that church because my sisters was there, and I knew about the Assemblies. I mean, I knew about Pentecostal church because I read them. I read about church history. So when I went there that Sunday, that was the message that was prepared for me. Prodigal son, come home. But that wasn't a message for me, what else? And the worst thing is, I was in the trance, sitting down there. Still remember to this day. Sitting right, almost had a pipe because we were late for the service. The song just ended, so we just quietly move in and sit right at the pipe, 2 rows from the pipe. And the preacher preaching, oh my, whenever he put the finger out and started to point here and there across the audience, prodigal son, come home, I was in a trance. I was in a trance. The Spirit was speaking and tears were flowing down. And all I see was, you know, like a tunnel vision. And the finger was pointing at me, come home, prodigal son, come home. I just fixed. And yet, out of this tunnel vision, I could see the preacher was pointing to that side, pointing this side, but all I see was a finger pointing at me. Now, Natchez was over and auto call. I went up there and I cried for 2 hours. Everybody gone. And the pastor was sitting down there waiting for me. Then I realized, oh my. That song. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That day, the Lord pulled me. And I seek time to pray and fast, looking for the will of God. And I said, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. You know, if we don't have wisdom, as James said, we need to look for it. Because there is this line of the faith that you and I have. And how can we live this life faithfully if we don't seek for something that we lack to guide us, to help us? So, to all of you there, if you lack wisdom, and I know many do need a wisdom, because you see, you need to know what to do. You need to open your eyes and discern and see the needs of the church, to see the needs of the body of Christ, to see the need of the other brother and sister, instead of looking around and fight fault with each other. I don't like the sister because he neck so much. I don't like the brother because he's so rowdy, so, you know, this and that, whatever. Whenever you say things like that in your heart, think about yourself. What then would you do? And what then should you do? Huh? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he the waver is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Don't waver in everything that you ask. You know, one thing I don't like is believer that says, have faith. God's going to do this for you, going to do it for that. I believe this. But yet, they act contrary. You know, when COVID-19 came to Singapore, and we were locked out, and we were to push out of APOS, so what can we do? And then we cannot gather, stay home and stream. The COVID-19 didn't even scare me one bit. You see, I know what's going on now. A lot of people ask, I said, many people don't know the truth about this thing. Firstly, as Brother Mike said, this is a health issue, not a virus issue. I agree. That's why you have a lot of these people who are obese and healthy in America, in Europe, in Italy. Man, those are unhealthy. They are the ones that die first. It's not because the COVID is dangerous. No, it is. But it's been hyped up as being dangerous. What about the mumps? You know what mumps is? Huh? I remember back then, you know, I don't know who's of all the siblings in the home, I don't know who got it first. And then after that, one day after another, we all of them get it. It's even more dangerous.
And then it's so painful you can't even talk, you can't even open your mouth. Huh?
And you see, the thing is, I wasn't not too worried. And I get up every morning, as I said, look up, open the window, just praise the Lord. And I said, Lord, take care of your people. Let them raise their hand and pray and praise you. Let not this disease touch them. Because I know that there are those who are having underlying diseases. If they have it, they might suffer a little bit more than normal. So what is faith then? Do we waver? You ask for something? Of course we don't go foolish. So brother God, you said that you have faith, you don't get COVID-19. Would you go out without a mask? I would. If the government allows me not to use the mask. What if you get COVID-19 and you die? So if I got my COVID-19 and I die. It's just that somebody asked a stupid question because I tell about faith. Oh, very good, you have faith. You said you wouldn't die. If you walk on the roadside and a car hit you and you die, how? So you just cross on the road blindly? Some people think that's so stupid. You know, like the... Do you know in Singapore we hardly have... I don't think that we see zebra crossing anymore. Huh? You still have that? I guess so when you have zebra crossing, it's a sign there's still a traffic light, isn't it?
No?
Oh, it's beyond a hump. Okay, they want to understand. In those days, back then, in those days, when I, you know, in the 60s, 70s, the zebra crossing. There's no traffic light, or no panel, just strips on the road. You don't know what zebra crossing is? Oh, you have the right of way, right? It's a pedestrian right of way to cross, right? So cars coming on the right, coming on the left, you just cross, and I walk. I have faith. Yeah, you have faith, you end up dead. You don't just... Faith is not something that you act foolishly. Faith is a revelation. You know, and you know what to do. Am I not right? If somebody takes a knife charging at you, what are you going to do? You have faith in God, what are you going to do? So stand out there. Hey, I have faith in God, stab me, I won't die. I think there's something wrong with people's thinking. When they question faith like that. As I said, faith is that you act accordingly. Not blind faith. It is just like after, you know, during the temptation of Jesus, and the Satan took him up to a high pinnacle. He thought the Son of God jumped down. After all, the Bible said that you are the Son, right? You are the faith, you are His God's Son. So you will not die. You have faith in the Word. The Bible said that He will lift you. You want to tempt the Lord thy God? Faith is not just books. I have God. God will protect me in this and that. Hey, you need to have revelation to know what you are doing and do it right. You get the point? That's why Abraham had the revelation. I say you. Take your Isaac, your son, your only son, and offer him up as a sacrifice for me. Since you said so, Lord, I will do it. Isn't it so? If God did not tell Abraham to do that, you think that Abraham just sit down and meditate one day and say, now maybe I should sacrifice my son Isaac to God, to the Lord and please him. You see. And so we have a lot of preachers out there, a lot of believers out there, because they do not know how to look at the Bible, how to divide the Bible, how to be discerning, that they get themselves all messed up. So, like him, asking faith, nothing wavering, for he the waver is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. One moment you say about faith, next moment you start to doubt. One moment you say you're afraid of God, next moment you start to doubt. Then something is wrong. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, not just some, in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. I think that is so very true. Those who are poor, rejoice because God exalted you because you are his son, his daughter. We are still the children of God. It's not about material thing, about money. But for those rich in material thing, he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Everybody has to die, whether you're rich or poor. Whether you're buried in the $10,000 coffin, or you're just buried in a $10 coffin. Just make of simple materials, a cupboard or something. You see, the rich and the proud. Well, you know what? The Bible said, the poor you have, you shall have always with you. Jesus said to the disciples, me you don't have, but the poor you shall always have. But I think the same is true also, the rich we always have with us. Around. And the proud. Oh my. No, I know one thing for sure is that the proud, if they do not know the Lord, the way they act, I understand. If they're acting in a way that just to show off his riches. But there are those that do not know how to treat the poor. With all the money that they have, like what, Mr. Scrooge? Or Scrooge, or whatever the name, Scrooge? They hoard all the money in his home. Well, for the sun is no longer risen with the burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof followed, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. You ever wonder all these rich people, you know, they dress up, you know, have all the parties going on? Huh? And it is true. You know, that movie that is made in Singapore about the crazy rich Asian. You know, I saw that, I said, how true that is. You know, they just have this money in the sponge, they have all this party, this ball, this whatever is going on. And all the standard they have because they are rich. And it reminds me of just like the Catholic Church. Every time they have some meetings or whatever, they have to dress up in all that pomposity, you know. All that, well, it looks like a celebrity kind of a dress. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? Why do they have to do that? Blessed is the man. And you wear these riches, everything, all this will perish. Now I'm just wondering. I'm in my office during my study and all that, and sometimes I look at my cupboard, you know, my cupboard, and I look at all the hundreds of books that I have. I say, wow, what am I going to do with this book? Now I'm coming to, in a few more months, 73 years old, and I'm looking at all these books. What am I going to do with this book? You know what I'm saying? I mean, this book to me, they are treasures, you know, it's not all those big material things, but these are books that I love, because I read them and enjoy them. Sometimes I go back and reread them again. And I look at her and say, what am I going to do with it? I give it to my son? Aha. Give it to my grandson? What else I do with it? Cousin, if I'm gone, what will happen to the book? I don't know what happened to those people. I don't know. Job probably came in. I don't know. Probably he started with the wife. You see, it's a material. They'll perish one day. You see, but it is the knowledge of the word that is a real treasure.
Amen.
Not only books in there. Whatever you read, yeah, the knowledge you have gained. Understanding the Bible, understanding the word. You know. So we look at all these rich people out there and they're just gallivanting away and they perished. What then? The millions and millions of dollars in the bank, who do they give to? They give it to their son, they spoil their son. There are many cases like that. Yep. Blessed is the man that endured temptation. Now here remember the trial of your faith. This is the life of the faith. You will be tried. Blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This crown of life. Because we all have life now, right? Do we have eternal life now? Yes. Okay. What is this? Receiving this crown of life. That's a reward when everything becomes the real thing. Just like the hope of the righteousness, where we were given the fine linen, clean and white. We testify the righteousness of the saints. Huh? I mean, we all are looking for the blessed hope, right? I know I have eternal life now. If I die now, I have no problem. I'll meet the Lord. Right? But while we are living, we are looking for that blessed hope to come. But no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. I was just thinking about what Brother Rowley shared on Friday. You know, he said the day then when his father was gunned down, shot then, and then, you know, he was very upset, right? He got angry with God. Yeah, I got angry with God many times too because of the thing that happened, you just upset. He said, but that is part of God shaping us. God helped to bring things about so that he can take you, whom he had predestinated. Now, I was wondering back then that I knew Christ before I was 12 years old. And after 2 years, when I was in secondary school, I backslid because of what happened. And for 2 years, I didn't go to church. But I never denied the Lord. But why did this come about? I realized now that God was testing me. I came to him at a young age. The name of Jesus. Wow. You know, it's really something. And I testify to people at a young age too. But then, God allowed something to happen. This temptation that presented to me, I backslid away from him. You're not denying him, but I mean, does I say how much of that love that I said I have for him is there? So you see, when I was restored back to the joy of his salvation, there was this pull. God is pulling me. You know, sometimes God has to do something to call your attention and pull you. Some people say, Brother John, you're so blessed, but I'm not blessed. How come I'm not blessed? But it depends on what's your attitude. What attitude do you have? How deep is your relation? How much do you want to get close to the Lord? And that's the question. That's why I said this. Now, a lot of people don't realize, those people who don't believe in the rapture, they don't believe in that there is this echelon of God's, you know, government. We see that in the disciples. We see there were 12. And one betrayed him. That tell us what? That not all the people who are in, who call themselves Christian, are going to, they are already his. Because there are those that will betray him. there are those that will say things regarding God, regarding the Lord Jesus. And yet out of that, Jesus took three and took them to Mount Transfiguration. Is that right? So that they will see the kingdom of God come with power, which is the transformation of life. That's right. The transformation of life. Just a little thought right here, a little side thought. You know, Brother Nice sent me a text. It's because of what was happening, you know, over in Africa as well, because there were all this chat group, WhatsApp chat group, where people are invited to discuss. And was this brand new group that now, you know, have been saying things differently now, it seems, that there's no rapture and this and that and so on. And one question was posed. Now, I know that I'm off my subject a little bit, but just want to let you know. The question was posed is this. Jesus said this to the disciples when they were at the communion table. His last supper, right? And he took the cup and he blessed it. He asked them to, disciples, to drink it. He said, I will not drink this cup. I will not take this until I will take it anew when I come into my Father's kingdom. Is that right? Remember that. So the question right now they were posting is, when is this going to take place? When is Christ going to take this cup again? A cup of wine. He said, I will not take it until I come to my Father's kingdom. When is that going to be? Is it in the millennium? Or is it up there in the rapture? So these are the questions that are posed by these people who do not believe in the rapture, who believe that they are going through the tribulation to face the Antichrist. And then Christ will come back after 7 years, after tribulation is over, and then according to them, that's when he set up his kingdom. Now, one thing as I say is, we all need to really understand the Bible. We need to really study the Bible. When is that statement of Jesus going to take place? I will not drink it until I come to my Father's kingdom. When is that going to happen? It's already happened. It's in the Bible, it already happened. The problem is when people talk about the kingdom of God, they think that it's all about Israel having the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? We are the kingdom of God. Is it not right? Yeah. I mean, you cannot have a kingdom where there's no king. So when did Jesus come into his kingdom? When he resurrected, yes, ascended to heaven. I mean, he resurrected, he went to the Father, he came back. And how many days did he spend on earth? About 40 days he spent on earth with his disciples. And while he was on earth spending time, he eat and he drink with them. Because he already come into his kingdom. It's right there in the scripture. And they don't see it. All they want to do is they think that they are smart and they argue. No wonder Brother Bram make this statement to a question. I think his sister was, I can't remember that. So you find the best teacher you can find and you stay with him. You don't want to go around this one and that one and find that you get all confused. That's true. Not that you cannot hear the preacher, you hear. But when they start saying something different, you better check the scripture. Right. Let's continue. So when you are tempted, don't say that God tempt you. God don't tempt you. God allows temptation to come. Just like God allows Satan to do some to do whatever he wants to with Job. God did not say to Job, Job, I'm going to tempt you. I'm going to get Satan to tempt you. No. Satan is always going out like a roaring lion to see who he may devour. See who he may tempt. And God permitted that. Alright. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And now this is a different kind of temptation. If you have the faith, the seed faith, the real faith, the life, then, you know, don't let this thing happen to you. It means that you're carnal. And the life of a true faith, the seed faith we have, is not a carnal life. How to make more money. You know? And you start to think evil thoughts, bad thoughts. That life shouldn't be. So every man is tempted, then he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust had conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That's right. Because whatever you sow, we reap. Is that not right? Like I said this many times, you know, we are human. This flesh is nothing good in this flesh. There's corruption. And the black dog always wants to stir up trouble. And I told you many times I experienced that. And then we say, oh, you know, like how many years ago when I took my motorcycle, went down to the airport to pick up, I think it was a Indian brother who I can't remember now. Travel along Paya Lebar Road, and it was three lane and very heavy traffic. And big iron motorcycle, I think on the first lane, you know, I could cut through. But I could stop because traffic was slow, and here was a big car, expensive car behind me, start honking me out of the way. And how could I move this left? All the lanes are taken. All he come up to the left, and he want to get to my space. There's no space for him. You know. So after a while, the traffic flow a little bit more, and I move again. About maybe about 200-300 meters again, he was behind me, haunt me again. Oh, so I was so furious. I say, man, if you are going where I am going, I'm going to damage your car. Man, the thing was boiling inside me. You know how terrible it is. He come right close to me and horn me just like that. Not that I was in his way, because cars are everywhere. And true enough, when I went to the airport and parked my motorcycle, and here he came in his car into the parking lot. I said, I'm going to scratch your car with my key. You know, that thing that was in my mind, you know, the frustration of being horned and bullied. And this is what we call road rage, right? So I parked my bike, and he was nearer to the entrance to the airport. He got out of his car and he went in. So I walked there and looked at his car. See, the temptation is so real. Right? Scratch it. Man. I just tell the devil to get lost. You see, There's always a lot of things like this, the frustration that builds up, that you want to get the better of that person. It just happened in the church. The brother, that sister, I don't like to go to their home because it's she's neck, neck, neck. Or he neck, neck, neck. We put ourselves in the position of a person who neck. Why he neck? Why she neck? And understand that. That's why I'm so stressed out. Because there's so much burden. All the years of trying to get this fellowship to understand what is the real, because the Bible is telling us about agape. Right? The reality. And as Mother Abraham said, you know, without agape, you will not make it in. It's not about what I have to Jesus Christ, my Savior. A lot of Christians out there, my Savior. I'm talking about making it into the rapture. To be able to take it. That's why you find that Enoch was taken. How was Enoch taken? The Bible says what? What did it say? What did the Bible say about Enoch? He walked with God, and he was not. Walked with God in what? Faith. Yes, and faith. What is faith? It's a revelation. And what is that revelation? That God is love too. And God is real. You see? Because that is the fruit of the faith. Not just the fruit of the spirit, the fruit of the faith. The reality. For God is love. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Yes. God is in His own Word. The Word was God. And yet God is love. People have no patience. This life of the faith must be real. Alright. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of light, which with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Yep. It's consistent. It's always faithful, reliable. No, God's not fickle-minded, and neither should we be fickle-minded. Of His own will, because He asked with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of His creature, and like that. Of His own will, begat He asked with the word of truth. He begat us with His word. We are born again by what? By the word and the spirit. Right? As I always say, spirit, the word, then you have life. Get what I'm saying? There was no word in the beginning. It was just in eternity there was just the spirit, Almighty God. Right? Then when the word came out to do what? To bring forth life, creation. See? So spirit, word, and then life appear. So Jesus said, the word has appeared unto their spirit, and they are life. So, he says it, that we should be a kind of first fruit of His creation. Obviously, we should be the first fruit of His creation. Who is the masterpiece? Of all the creation that God created, who is the masterpiece? Christ Jesus. And to whom we should have our image conformed to His image. To be conformed to His image. And have His image in us, that He be the preeminent in us. That's the life. Oh, that's the revelation of God given to you and me. That's the life of the faith of God. Not just, oh, Jesus saved me, I'm so glad. You know, we are glad. Christians out there are glad. But there are more to it. The reality. Because God has given us this book. Not just only John 3:16. Everybody just happy. John 3:16.
Then we should just strip off the page and cut off the slip. Just like what would the Jews would do. The Orthodox Jews, the Hasidic Jews. Why they put this, what they call it now, the frontlet, what is it called? The phylactery, that's right. On the forehead in which there is this little scroll of the commandment of Moses. Put it there. And also on their handband. We should do that, huh?
Instead of dog.
No, we don't. Yeah, don't put it at the door. We should put it maybe, well, in the box, you know. We don't have to tie it to our forehead, we should tie it around our arms so they remind us. Yep. You understand that we are the first fruit of this creature. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So don't get angry. Huh? A lot of people get angry so fast. But the Bible tells us be quick to hear, but slow to get angry and slow to speak. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I think that is so true. The wrath of God don't work the righteousness of God when we start getting angry. Oh. Yeah, you know what I mean. I wonder, the Bible said, don't let the sun set upon your sin, upon your wrath, your anger, whatever, you don't let it set. You know, you have to forgive. Now, still remember to this day how I wanted to scratch that car, you know. I'm so frustrated to hear the fella behind me just honking me trying to get me out of the way when there's no way out and he can't even get anywhere. I don't know what's wrong with what he's irritated. Irritated with, just because maybe I was a motorcycle and he's a big, I don't know whether it was an Audi car or the beautiful, nice car. You know, some rich people, they know, they think there's so much, so rich to show off, and you see a small motorcycle out there, they get angry. You know, what's wrong with them? Throwing the whip around. And the judge at the end time, they just preach all of them, many of them throw the whip around and control the church. Churches in Africa, they're not just their own churches, they control other churches. Make themselves some big, give themselves a big title. Oh my. Wherefore, let a part of filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, that is badness, alright? Let a part, therefore, let a part all filthiness means any dirtiness in you. And fruity of naughtiness, the badness, and receive in meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul. Engrafted word. Because you see, that's the life. God is always engrafting the word in us. More that you learn, the word stays in the heart, engrafted into us. So that the life will be real. Right. Verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Be doers. A lot of people hear words, but they never have their life change. People's lives will change for the better. There should be an improvement. Just as the seed that go down. All right, we plant a seed. Let's take a mango seed, for example. When you plant it, if this is a dry ground, and you just put a seed there in the dry ground, you come back after a week or 2 weeks, do you think that seed will sprout? No. So you have to prepare the ground, put a seed in, and then water it.
And make sure that your brother that sit under a tree, a big tree, so that, you know, you doesn't have sunlight. Come back a week or two later and see what happened. You see a little blade comes out. Shoot them. So that is the manifestation of the seed coming forth. But the blood that comes out is not the seed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the word of God that is engrafted into you in this faith, when it comes out, it will manifest something to show the life that is in the seed. Okay, when it grows up, more, then you see more leaves coming forth, and then after that you see the stem comes up, grow, you see buds and more branches start coming up. Huh? That is part of the mango seed. But that is not the mango seed. That is part of the life of the mango seed. Is that right? So, your goodness, your brother kindness, your patience is part of the seed. It's not the seed. It's part of the seed. You get what I'm saying? So go on growing, growing. So all you see, this is the life or part of the seed. You know? But it is not true seed. Until you find, oh, the bud. A flower bud is come forth. Then after the flower bud, it broke forth a flower. And after the flower fade away, what do you see? You see the seed being formed. Alright, and it grows into this mango. Hey, the flesh is there for you to eat, right? But it's also protecting the mango seed in there, because that's the life. So what goes down as seed must come back up as seed. If the tree, mango tree, does not produce mango, something is very wrong with what you have planted. Is it not true? What goes down as the mango seed, as the seed, must come back up as a seed. It does not come up, it just flower and leave and nothing else. Every seed brings forth its own kind. So the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about last week, you know the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, long-suffering, and so on. They are part of the life, but they are not the true life. You get what I'm saying? Are you following me? It is part of the life, but that is not the true life. You see the leaf? It's not the true life. It's just part of their life. So your bodily kindness, your joy, your temperaments, your patience, which is part of the life, but it's not the true life. Because, you know, mankind, we are all born into this world. We all came from what happened in the garden, in the fall. So what happened? The image that was in Adam, the image of God that was in Adam, was what they call tinted. Right? So the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It is His Word. We come short of the glory of God's Word. Yet mankind still have that spirit that is tainted, that is marred, that some people know how to behave. Right? How to be kind. Even the sinner know how to be kind to the poor. Right? Take pity and compassion. Sure. But that's not the true life. Only that because when the mango seed goes down, it comes from all those leaves. And you know those are mango leaves. They are not banana leaf. They are not rambutan leaf or some other kind of leaf of a tree. It is specific. upper tree have its upper leaf, certain shape, certain look. But it all came from that seed. From that mango seed. Yeah, the mango leaf. Mango flower. You know, as the leaf goes down, I mean as the root goes down further, as I said this, is reaching out for all the nutrients. As much as possible, go as much as possible, going out just for nutrients. When I was in San Francisco, in San Francisco, in Santa Rosa, back in 1980, I think. And the brother said, you know, let's go to Chinatown, and they want to buy something. So we went to Chinatown, and they were talking about ginseng. So I said, okay, let's go to Chinatown and look for the shop selling ginseng. So you know, Chinatown is all, practically all Chinese, and all the Chinese shop. So we went to one medical hall, you know, that sells all kinds of herb, ginseng. And it happened to be that this guy was a Singaporean. So I know a little bit about ginseng anyway, so, you know, I went there with this brother, the American, of course. So he was asking for the ginseng, and he said, okay, let me get you the best one. So I want to see whether he's telling the truth, whether this guy is trying to bum off, you know, make money just to make a sale. And so he brought out a ginseng, kind of nice size ginseng. I know how a ginseng root looks like. So I was looking and said, look at this ginseng. Do you see anything special about this ginseng? So everybody looked close and said, oh, it's true, very interesting enough. This root that came down, he said, look at that. There's this root that came down. And suddenly it split. And then it closed back. And we look at it, and in between the splitting of that root, there was a big pebble, a big stone. And he's telling this, he said, when this ginseng started to grow, it was searching for nutrient. And ginseng usually have this root, main root that will go straight down. And because it hit against a pebble, a stone in its way, it does not give up. He was telling a story. He said it split its root and went around the pebble and goes straight down again. So he grabbed this pebble in between the split root. So you see, the man was saying that that stone did not hinder the ginseng for seeking, you know, the nutrient it needs. And so, should we be hindered by some stones in our way, boulders, or hurdles, or trials and temptation? Huh? That may come from a brother or sister who irritate us. We are upset about this condition in the workplace. Wow. You see, we are supposed to be a strong tree, planted by rivers of living water, and I said that you need the water, you need the air, you need the sunshine. You know, you cannot overwater the plant. What happened? You're drowning, it dies. Underwater, it's over. Well, not, you wither away. So you need the balance of the Word of God, right? And the Spirit of life. True. You see. Praise the Lord for that. So, well, all these things must be balanced. Let's finish off here quickly. Verse 22. But be able to do us of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, go his way, and straightway forget what man of man he was. That's true, huh? I mean, that's crazy, right? You get up in the morning, you see your face with all the dirt in your face, maybe your dried tears, and it's not dried up, or you have dirty face, something like that, and you just look at it and walk away. I think something is very wrong. So when we look at the Word of God, we examine ourselves and let us clean up our act. For whosoever look unto the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you should be seem to be religious and brother not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man's religion is vain. James, writing here, we already see here the faith and the humility that we should have, and the trial and the temptation that we have to go through, and how that he says about hearing, just not hearing, but doing also of the word, and being partial to others. Being impartial to everyone, rich or poor. Because this is the life that Jesus Christ lived when he was on earth. Because this is real. Amen? I'll close it for here, and we'll continue in other parts of the word next week. Gracious Heavenly Father, bless thou thy word, O Father. Bless thou thy word, Lord. We thank you for your grace, once again, for your love, for everything that you are to us, O Lord. And therefore, Father, we can get up every morning just to praise you. And every day even to praise you. And even as you go to bed at night, we can praise you. And we can exclaim and say, blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem. And we can praise you, Lord, and even say, Baruch Haba, B'Shem Adonai. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, for this is what we are looking for, Father. That he will return Jesus Christ to earth. That we can be caught up to be ever with him. Father, we praise you, Lord. We are looking for that blessed hope. Blessed hope of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ in the saints. We thank you, Father. Bless the day now in Jesus' name. Amen.